Welcome to my podcast. My name is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt. Thank you for joining this new episode. In this episode, we are going to talk about Aisha Curry and her confession that she is in need of more male groupies. We are going to talk about my personal journey as a pescatarian, as well as some other topics, and I hope that you will enjoy this podcast. If you do, please be sure to share it with your friends and family. I would greatly appreciate that. We are on Facebook. You can follow us at SWS Podcast, Instagram SWS Podcast, and Twitter SWS The Podcast. If you follow us, that'd be greatly appreciated. Again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a blessed day. So I'm trying this weird thing where I am live on Facebook over there, live on Instagram right here, and live on Anchor at the same time. And I think what I'm doing, I think what I'm doing is I am really just recording my podcast, I think. So, before we begin, I just want to say that I'm going to only try to record one segment, just in case it doesn't work, because I don't want to, like, mess up my whole podcast for, like, just one trickaroo. Anyway, I'm going to play, I think, a clip of Aisha Curry on the Little Red Table or Big Red Table or Red Table, whatever she's on, talking about some insecurities that she has. Then I'm going to talk about it in great detail for 7 minutes. Are you ready? Okay. Will this work?
It bothers me and, like, honestly has given me a sense of a little bit of an insecurity is the fact that, yeah, like, there are all these women, like, throwing themselves, but me, like, the past 10 years, like, I don't have any of that. Like, I have zero, this sounds weird, but, like, male attention.
Okay, and she's had some...
Okay. So Aisha Curry, she's married to NBA All-Star Steph Curry, I believe. Not really a basketball person. So, but I think I'm a Blazer fan today. Side note. She, on a show hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith, her daughter, and her mother, is being interviewed at a, she's being interviewed on the show, and the show features Steph Curry's mom, her, Steph Curry's, like, future sister-in-law, and then maybe Steph Curry's sister. I think that's how it goes. And they are talking about, like, feeling or being insecure or what makes you insecure. And there's a lot of discussion about it. So first of all, I want to encourage everyone, before you jump to a conclusion, jump on over and watch the full video for context. In fact, that might be a good rule for just life. Always pursue context. If you're a preacher, please pursue context. If you are a journalist, please pursue context. If you are just a consumer, just a listener, just a viewer, please pursue context. So, I got off. So, she announces that it brings some level of insecurity. Now, context is they're talking about the life of an NBA all-star wife. And every woman on the panel aside from the host, are wives or fiancés of NBA players in one particular family. And so there, one sister said, you know, it's hard because, you know, in the last 3 weeks, I've only spent 6 hours with him. They have also discussed the difficulty of, like, wanting to balance your own career and your own life while, like, also wanting to be a supportive wife and spouse and a good mother. So all of them have said, you know, I made this, you know, choice not to travel with my husband. And it's out of this conversation about choice for about, you know, not traveling with the husband that Aisha Curry is like, oh, well, you know, it's really difficult because, like, and I'm just contextualizing how, just how I see it. To me, she's saying, like, me and the husband, you know, celebrity basketball player extraordinaire, we don't have a lot of narratives to compare because I don't really get a lot of male attention. And essentially, she's saying that her insecurities have birthed this need to have additional attention. And other folks have taken that to mean that, oh, she is insecure because she doesn't have groupies. Now, contextually, I think it's important to consider the following. She's not just Steph Curry's wife, right? She's a celebrity in her own right. Like, she's like a chef, and she probably has a handbag or something like that. Like, I don't know the specifics, but I know that she's, even in the introduction at the red table, there's like, yeah, and Aisha Curry, you know, entrepreneur, you know, an NBA wife extraordinaire. In fact, she was referred to as the first lady of the NBA, which I would strongly push back on. But anyway, so the world is like, oh, what was her? Insecure about vanity and not being, you know, respected and salivated on when she is considered. And so people are like, oh. Then there's another brood of folks that are like, you know what? She can get over it. She will be all right. Like, she will survive. Then there's another group of y'all that are like, oh, insecurities are so real, and, you know, we need to, you know, realize the place that they have. And the reality is, like, this is my perspective. This is like pure rich folks' problems. Like, okay, if you don't agree with me, memorize this girl's lines and then go ahead and repeat it to one of your friends. Let's try that. Let's just listen to it again, and you put your own voice on it.
Women, like, throwing themselves. But me, like, the past 10 years, like, I don't have any of that. Like, I have zero, this sounds weird, but, like, male attention.
Okay, and she's had to...
So, I guess, first of all, where's your husband? Because that should be the male attention that you are pursuing and that you are getting. Like, to me, like, it's more of a problem for Steph Curry to have a wife on TV talking about she gets no male attention. What kind of male attention are you looking for? And this kind of goes deep into this conversation about whether celebrities are role models. And sometimes they just become role models automatically and we can't really control. Like, you know, sometimes celebrities cannot control how people view them. And so we just say, oh, yeah, like, such and such is a role model. But, like, it's really important for parents to, like, listen to stuff like this and determine if this is the person that they want their kids to be in front of. Because, I don't know, just lamenting about not having groupies is weird. It's... What do you guys think? I mean, I just, I just don't understand, like, and this is Mental Health Month, you know, like, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and I just don't think that this is one of those things. But I will say, though, that, like, insecurities are subjective, right? Because, like, you might be insecure about something within your own context. Like, you know, I'm a preacher, so naturally I'm insecure about my delivery and how people receive my message. You know, if I was a basketball player, naturally I would be insecure about how, you know, my performance on the court is received and celebrated. So that being said, is it okay for somebody whose context is the wife of an NBA player in burgeoning, hey there, buddy. That's Sydney. Sydney and I are going to the mall to Nordstrom, although I haven't heard from him. Or has he not heard from me? One of them. Okay. So insecurities are subjective because they depend on who you are, where you're from, and what your context is. So I guess the question is, are we going to give Aisha Curry a pass? Is it okay for her? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give Aisha Curry a pass. And the reason why is because I just talked myself into it. I'm deciding that insecurities are subjective. And if you're married to somebody that's famous, and even, let me see, who else was on that panel? And they were talking, maybe it was Aisha Curry. She was talking about how she and Steph had to work out a situation where, like, I mean, you can imagine, like, you're married to somebody that's famous. You show up at a red carpet and everybody is like, hey, like, you know, literally ignoring your presence because you, whatever your skill set is or whoever you are, like, just being somebody's wife or spouse is not enough. And so she talked about the difficulty of having to introduce herself in situations where perhaps he wasn't naturally introducing her, or the person was so overwhelmed with his stardom that they weren't really thinking about her. I can imagine that could be very difficult to, like, live life, like, as, like, the shadow or the spouse or the wife. But I'd also contend, and I think this is my number one perspective, is that it is the, I'm giving chips to my coworker. It is the person, and I lost my thing. Okay. Here's the problem. You can just keep those. God bless you. Here's the problem. All right, let's see. Sydney said, what exactly happened? I've been seeing a bunch of memes, but I didn't get the situation. And Taba said, was she supposed to just stay silent about how she honestly feels? Sydney, she was on the Red Table Talks. They were talking about what it's like to be a celebrity. Context, Sydney, she is on the, so I didn't even know half of this, but the Red Table Talk is Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith's daughter and Jada Pinkett Smith's mother have this YouTube show called the Red Table Talk. And it's where they essentially interview people and have these in-depth interviews about girl stuff. That's how I would see it. On the show, they go to the home of Steph Curry's mom. And Steph Curry is a second generation NBA player. He has a brother that's an NBA player. A brother that's an NBA player. He's an NBA player. And then there are all these women who are a part. So the mom is an NBA wife. One of the sisters is the NBA wife, and one of the sisters is an NBA daughter. So it's the Smiths and the Currys. And they're talking about life as a celebrity, or life as the spouses, sons, or daughters of, you know, basketball players. And that's when Aisha's like, I really feel insecure that people don't really recognize me at the way that they recognize other people. She essentially says that she wants to get... The problem, though, is that she opens it up by saying that she gets no male attention. So, of course, you're in the panel with a whole bunch of women, and they start saying, like, oh, yes, you do. Like, oh, you just don't know about it. Like, ah! So that's what happened. So Tabitha said, was she supposed to be silent? No, I mean, I guess that's a good question. Was she supposed to be silent? I think that there's some things to talk about and there's some things not to talk about out loud. Like, if the Red Table Talk wasn't being recorded, that is the group that you should have that conversation with. Family members, people who have shared experience. The problem is that, like, none of us can identify because we don't have a shared experience. Like, you'd have to be an NBA wife or a celebrity wife to really understand that. And so, you know, I think that maybe some things that might be identifiable to people is, you know, this want and this need for male attention that, like, perhaps they're not getting from their spouse. But still, like, I would just be really upset if I had a wife and she was on TV talking about she gets no male attention. I don't understand that. So I don't have much context. I haven't seen the issue yet. Tabitha, that's pretty much it. Let's see. We got some Facebook folks chiming in. Matt, he says, I can understand her point. The desire to feel wanted is subjective, but generally we all have that desire. Agreed. His issue is her delivery. And where she made the announcement, I agree with that. He says it's okay. What we feel is human. He can relate. I'm not going to read all that. Cool. Gotcha. And reportedly, she further made a statement that she hasn't been sexually satisfied for years. Again, when that camera came off, that all those things could have been said. But I also think that because it's Mental Health Month, I think we should just talk about it. If Like we often don't feel safe in spaces where we can share our true feelings. And so we certainly don't want to discourage people from being like, this is how I feel. Like, and we want to create opportunities for people to share their true feelings. Like, clearly, like, if this woman is a celebrity wife and there's not a lot of people, she's not going to just call Steph Curry's mom and be like, oh, I'm not sexually satisfied. Like, what should I do? I mean, she might be able to tell her, yes, that's the life, you know, during basketball season and then move on. But ultimately, that conversation is around her son's ability to satisfy a woman. So that's not going to go far. I mean, have you met a black woman with a child, with a son child? They do not like, like, you just, there's only so much they're going to let you say about their son, no matter how terrible he is, if he's terrible. But not to say Steph Curry's terrible, he's a good guy. All right, let's see. Somebody else said, okay, I don't understand why she needs attention from men, but beep, Curry ain't putting beep down. Well, that's another thing. Like, is Curry, that's a marriage, that's contextual. Because the other sister said on the same breath that it had been 2 weeks since she had seen her husband. And I don't even know who's in the playoffs and who's not. I just know that some of them teams ain't in the playoffs. So is it a sacrifice that you make? I mean, I guess the other thing is that, like, do doctors' wives have the same testimony? Do preachers' wives have the same testimony? Sure, a lot. Do husbands of affluent or women with very time-consuming jobs have the same testimony? Sure, there are lots of men that don't feel satisfied sexually, or they don't get the attention that they need from their spouses because, you know, whatever. Like, I just don't know if she is, like, a special. Like, if she gets, I don't know. I said I was gonna give her a pass. So I probably just need to give her a pass, you know, and just let her be. But I didn't see anything where she said that she wasn't being sexually satisfied. But I would imagine that if you're married and you are accustomed or you are in need of regular sexual attention, and you are married to someone whose schedule is as such that, you know, is the way that Steph Curry's is, that you would not, love you too, Sydney, see you soon, you would not be available to get it cracking all the time. But they got a lot of kids, so they're doing something somewhere. Amen. So what are the key points? Like, what are the high level takeaways from this particular scenario? I think for me, number one, it is like, get you a pastor, a confidant, a best friend. See you later, Taba. Get you somebody that you can really like sit in a corner with at a coffee shop and just have some tissue and some coffee and tell what's going on in your life. So that's first and foremost. And I think we all need that. And I think that this is important because like people will make you feel bad for having feelings because they're using their context to sort of review how you feel and whether it's important, like what I'm doing right now. Like I have determined that it's weird, but I'm also not married to anybody in the NBA, and so I don't know what her life is like. But so get somebody that you can talk to. Before you talk about it on camera, talk about it with your mom, like, you know, somebody important to you, somebody that will listen to you. There was also a lot of talk about like anxiety on the show that is really, really concerning to me. Not because people have anxiety, because I definitely struggle with anxiety in my own life. But like there was a talk about like taking pills and different anxiety. And I just want to say that like when we are, you know, like hearing people talk about how they deal with anxiety, we need to be very careful not to adopt the way that they cope as the way. Like, oh, she's a celebrity, because even though these people talking about she ain't getting no attention, she does have influence amongst people. And I'm sure she has influence amongst people who, you know, deal with anxiety. And like there was this table full of folks, you know, talking about the ways that they cope and the way that they deal with anxiety. And I think it's really important for us, first of all, talk to Jesus Christ and your medical provider about ways that, and I also think it's just good to have a therapist. It's good to have somebody who will listen to you and will give you unfiltered, you know, proven advice about the ways that you can handle some of these issues so that you're not just doing something that other people are doing. And it's not a non-church thing, because I've heard church people talking about taking sleeping pills and all kind of stuff. And we really need to be, you know, cognizant of, you know, like just caring for ourselves and figuring out how we can you know, just be good stewards of our bodies and our lives and stuff. So I think that's that. And I think finally, like, if your marriage context, and I'm certainly, I mean, the thing that gives me the right, if you will, to even make a comment about marriage is because I know what the Bible says about marriage. I'm not married, so I don't have this is not a testimony. This is just more of what I have perceived the Bible to say. The Bible says that a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It also speaks to the idea that both the man and the woman should leave and cleave from their own sort of nests and homes and lives to be available, and that husbands and wives should not deny their spouses the love and intimacy that comes along with marriage. That's just what the Bible says. That's my personal advice. That's what the Bible says. And so I think that, you know, while we're talking about like mental health and there's a lot of mental health issues that are attached to like feeling wanted and feeling needed, and a lot of people are doing very, very, very crazy things because they don't feel that people want them. And so, or they don't feel loved or respected or heard or seen. And so they're doing things to get attention. And sometimes those things to get attention are suicide, cutting, just all kinds of things that people are doing. And I think we need to be cognizant of that. So my final advice is, if you identify as a believer, you need to also lean on you know, Christian advice. I mean, if you can find a Christian therapist, great. You know, some take your pastor out to coffee and have these conversations in addition to whatever other, needs that you have, because I think it's important for us to care for ourselves. So, sorry, Aisha Curry. I didn't mean to make a whole podcast about you. I just want you to be happy. And your happiness is very important to a lot of people, namely fans of the Golden State Warriors. And so we want to just take the time to say to Steph Curry, like, I don't know if this is a clarion call for help or attention or what, but you got some work to do in the off season. You know what I mean? Like, you got some opportunities. There are some opportunities for you, Steph Curry, at Casa de Curry. Okay. All right. So I tried to stream on Instagram and Facebook and record a podcast, and I'm going to say it worked, but I'm not sure. Time will tell. All right. So, okay, a couple of things. Please like my page, share this if you like. Like my page on Facebook. It is D.Bomonte, or you can go to @SWS, which is Season with Salt Podcast. You can also go to SWS Podcast on Instagram. So @SWS Podcast on Instagram. If we're friends, you can just follow me wherever. Also, I got a $66 bill. I'm pushing back on the amount of this bill because I hate when too many sixes are in one amount. But I got a $66 bill telling me that I had to renew my website. So I paid it because I forgot to tell them that they needed my permission. So I have a website for another year. I pray that I have time to post on it, but it is DominiqueBomonte.com. So, I have a couple more segments to post for this podcast, but I want to thank my YouTube and Instagram viewers for your time, and until next time, we'll talk to you later.
I don't see the live video.
I want to talk about, in this second segment, my new journey as a pescatarian. I namely want to just go off about how people have responded to it. So, I'm going to look up pescatarian in the Urban Dictionary because I just think that would be funnier to read. The Urban Dictionary says that a pescatarian is one who excludes all flying and terrestrial animals from their diet. Pesca is the word for fish in Italian. And so a pescatarian is one who only consumes fish and other seafood as a meat choice. They also eat any and all fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, and grains. Many vegetarians consider them to be cheaters for eating the flesh of an animal and get rather offended when pescatarians call themselves vegetarians. I'm not a vegetarian. I am a pescatarian. I decided to be a pescatarian because of the impact that red meat has had on my body and the impacts that it has had on family members and just African-American people altogether. I was concerned about the consumption of red meat. I was concerned about the time that it takes to digest. And a part of the revelation came from like getting food poisoning one time and throwing up, like just getting food poisoning and like knowing that there was something inside my body that was making me ill, and then throwing up and then realizing that there was something that my body was rejecting that it did not like. And the only way that it knew to expose of it was for me to throw it up. And I just started thinking about all the things that we put into our body without having a lot of information about what it is, why we eat it, where it comes from. I thought about in a great deal about like food that has been manufactured, like specifically for like the palate and the interests of poor people. An example of that might be tilapia, the fish, or if you don't call it a fish, that is another part of my diet. Anyway, so I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna be a pescatarian. I'm gonna try it. The first week was cool. I'm in the second week now. The first week was cool. The problem was, well, I'm just giving you the outline. This is not what I'm going to talk about. I'm just giving you the outline. So this is my second week. The first week, I made a mistake. I went to, what did I do the first week that was bad? Oh, I went to Popeye's, and I had a shrimp tackle box, which is butterfly shrimp. And I know if you had to put in, like, parentheses when you're talking about some type of food, you probably shouldn't eat it, but Popeyes is just always going to be Popeyes, and I'm that dude. I like Popeyes. So I went to Popeyes, and I got the shrimp tackle box, but I got Cajun rice as the side because that's what I always get. I'm not sure what kind of meat is in Cajun rice at Popeyes, but it's meat nonetheless, and it's definitely not fish. Somebody said it's rat. Well, if there's rat meat in Cajun rice at Popeyes, there's probably rat meat in a lot of things that I just don't know about, and so I'm comfortable with rat meat. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have a problem with rat meat. Talk about me later. Talk about me now if you want to. And then the other day I had like some broccoli soup, like a cream-based broccoli soup, and I sampled it at Nana's Cafe in Sacramento. I sampled it, and it was really good, so I got a whole bowl of it, took it back to my office, started eating it, and realized that it had chicken in it. So those are the only two kind of cheat activities that I have. But it's been very difficult to, like the first week it was very difficult to be thinking about like how to like reorganize my life so that I wasn't eating red meat, because I would be like, oh yeah, usually I go to this place on this day. I actually stole so I love Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And I had gone there a few weeks ago and I accidentally took the napkin, you know, like the cloth napkin that they give you. So I accidentally took the napkin from Ruth's Chris. So I was like, okay, I got to take the napkin back. They do have seafood, but neither here nor there. I didn't even take the napkin back, and so I was like, when I take the napkin back, I'm going to get a steak sandwich, I'm going to get some lobster macaroni and cheese, and I had it all planned out on what I was going to eat, and then I realized that I can't go to Ruth's Chris anymore because, like, I go there for steak. So anyway, I've been driving around town with the Ruth's Chris Steakhouse napkin on the front seat of my car. So anyway, so that's the journey of being a pescatarian. The funny thing is that, like, first of all, people don't know what a pescatarian is. And what I realize is that a lot of people think it's a diet. And I think that people are getting confused with their thought that I need to be on a diet and my choice to be a pescatarian. They're not the same thing, right? Like, because you might think I need to be on a diet, but that doesn't mean I'm going to just jump on one, because you probably need to be on a diet too. Okay. All right. So, like, I announced that I was a pescatarian, and then all of a sudden, like, whenever people have seen me with things, they're like, ooh, you can't eat that. Like, you do not know what I can eat. Okay? Or drink. sometimes it just feels good to just get stuff off your chest. I can drink what I want because I'm grown. So if I don't drink alcohol, I'm not sinning. This ain't about sin. But so anyway, people be like, oh, can you eat that? Like this right here. It looks nasty, but it is cheddar cheese with a spinach dip, all made by Reduced Fat Items. I have some pita bread. When I stop recording these podcasts, I'm going to eat these egg bites that I got from Safeway. Anyway, so the idea is that you just don't eat red meat. And that's pretty much all that you have an emphasis on fresh fruits and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But people have been coming at me sideways. Like, oh. So anyway, like, I guess I never thought of this as like a, I never thought of this. My coworker or somebody was like talking about how they did not assume, oh, my friend Tish was saying, you know, I don't know, you don't come off as a person that has a complex about your body. And I was like, you know what? Like, I think we all have body image, like, challenges that we don't talk about, but people are a little too comfortable, like, making comments about other people's weight to them. Now, I know we're talking about people behind their back, but I ain't talking about that. Like, yeah, ooh, she gained weight, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, she picked up a few. Ah. But I'm talking, church people are really, really, and this is not a beat up on the church people kind of thing. Like, this is not that at all. I'm a proud church going man. Like, I love Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a church going man till the day I die. But just because we are a part of the same religious community does not give you the right to make free will comments about my weight. It is not your weight, it is my weight. And people are just like, I mean, I could give you some examples, but I'm not going to because I have told other people some of these people's names and I don't want them to be like, yeah, Dominique made a podcast and he mentioned you in the podcast. No, I'm just saying, saints, stop mentioning people's weight to them. They know if they gained weight. You know, if you gain weight, you sit on chairs and they be making noises and you get uncomfortable. You go places, you know, you can't fit the clothes you used to fit. We already know. We don't need anybody telling us. So what I'm going to start doing is when people make a comment about weight, I'm going to clap back in a very appropriate and Christian way. I'm going to say, oh, it really makes me uncomfortable when people make a comment about my weight because it's my body and I can do what I want with my black body. I appreciate your concern about my weight. Would it be appropriate for me to mention your weight? Would it be appropriate for me to mention your eating choices? Oh, it wouldn't? So, I'm a pescatarian. I made that choice for health reasons. At the same time, I'm making other poor health choices with food because it's a journey. Pray my strength in the Lord. Finally, I want to take a moment of personal privilege to express just something that's on my heart with regard to being open and vulnerable to feedback and counseling and just being open to letting people love you by way of giving you feedback that can lead to change. And I think that sometimes that can be very difficult because the way we're naturally set up is to be like, well, certain people can't tell me nothing because they also XXXXX. And sometimes it's very difficult to receive feedback. And sometimes the people that we could probably get the best feedback from because they know us are people that are really close to us. And so that makes it sometimes even more hard. But I want to caution us, when I'm talking to me as well, to be aligned with feedback. Not all feedback is valuable, but sometimes it's valuable just because you work through receiving it in humility. And don't be afraid to improve your life by way of knowing and understanding what other people think, because it's not necessarily a bad thing. How we internalize it can sometimes make it bad, but when we open ourselves to feedback, you're better off. So I thought about, I want to read in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 11. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and he realizes that he uses some very strong and harsh language in encouraging them. And this is what he writes as a result. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9, 10 and 11 in the Message Bible. I know I distress you greatly with my letter. Although I felt awful at the time, I don't feel at all bad now that I see how it turned out. The letter upset you, but only for a while. Now I'm glad that you were upset, but that you were jarred into turning things around. You let the distress bring you to God, not drive you from Him. The result was gain, no loss. Distress that drives us to God does that. It turns us around. It gets us back in the way of salvation. We never regret that kind of pain. But those who let distress drive them away from God are full of regrets, end up on a deathbed of regrets. So let's internalize appropriately the feedback that we get so that we can be better people. Have a good day.